This Family Life News Podcast is made possible by the support of listeners like you.
Whether or not you are a widow, you and I love people who've been widowed. How have they seen God work in the transitions and loneliness that accompany widowhood? And how can those of us who are not widows be more helpful or less unhelpful in the lives of the widows we know? We'll be talking about that today on Family Life's Inside Out. I'm Martha Menikas Foster, and my guest today is author Marilyn Nutter, whose life changed abruptly when she became a widow in 2011. Her new book is titled Hope for Widows, Reflections in Mourning, Living, and Change. Welcome back, Marilyn, to Inside Out.
Thank you so much for having me, Martha.
This is a very important topic. Marilyn, would you just start us off by telling us what you think those of us who are not widowed might be surprised to know about widowhood?
Well, speaking from experience, I was definitely surprised. I had a lot of ideas about what widowhood might be like. And I will tell you that every widowed friend that I know has the same statement. I never knew it would be like this.
Mm.
So I guess what I would say is the biggest thing is that a widow has not only lost her husband, but she has lost the life that she knew. And life looks dramatically different. Mm. And I don't think we're prepared for what that is really like. It's more than losing a person. It's losing experiences. It's making new experiences. It is changing relationships. It is an abundance of secondary losses. And we don't think about that. We think, oh, she's lost her husband. But she's lost so many other things associated with it. We call those secondary mm-hmm. losses. When I went through grief share shortly after my husband died, one of our assignments was to list secondary losses, and they gave us five spaces, five lines. Well, I exhausted those very quickly, and mm-hmm. I went to my journal and started listing them. So there are a lot of them. He made my coffee, now I make it myself. Something simple, you know, he mm-hmm. planned the travel, now I have to do it. So I think what really is surprising is that other people do not realize all the layers there are to widowhood. It's not only losing your husband.
Mm-hmm. And you make mention in the book that even though they're called secondary losses, they really are primary losses for the person involved, right?
Absolutely. They're primary to my life by existence, mm-hmm. sharing. When Randy died, we had four grandchildren. And within the next several years, we added four more to our family. And each time a new grandchild came into our family, I experienced that alone as an only grandparent on my daughter's side of the family. And that technically would be a secondary loss, but for me it was very primary mm-hmm. that I didn't have anyone to share that with.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So Marilyn, more than half of the women in the U.S. who are over the age of 75 are widows, and that might not surprise us, but what might surprise us is the average age of widowhood for women is 59 years old. And now I've read, and this might not be accurate to this date, but I've read that 2,800 women a day become widows in the U.S., Are there ways you'd suggest that we can prepare for the possibility of losing a spouse? Are there things we could learn or could do now that might make the days and weeks after the death of a spouse more emotionally or physically manageable?
That's a great question. And yes, that's a fairly accurate statistic that you quoted. I think what startles people is the average age of a widow is 59, which means that there are about a third of the women beneath that age level who are below 59 and they're raising children. So when I talk about how complicated widowhood is, it's very different for a woman who's 75 or 80 versus, and I've had a couple of women in my grief support group who were young moms in their 30s faced with raising children. So they had a lot of other layers to work through. But back to your question about how to prepare, I don't think we can ever prepare emotionally mm-hmm. for losing mm-hmm. your spouse. Whether it is, in my case, it was sudden, but there are many who care for a chronically ill husband. And even though they know what the outcome of that illness is going to be, they're still not prepared emotionally for it. But the easier answer might be, how can we prepare to make life more manageable?
Okay.
So I think there are a lot of practical ways that we can do that. I think one of the things is to be informed. People shy away from making a will, you know, or they shy away from talking about things like this, but practical preparation is really critical. No financial records. Know where you're going to go for the expertise that you're going to need. Have things in order. Know your banking and your passwords. And be aware of what you can do. If you're watching all the things that go on in household management, well, when your husband's not there, you're going to have to do it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, there's not someone to share that. As simple as thinking, okay, when do I change the air filters in my house? Or how do I pump gas? When do I have to get tires rotated?
Mm-hmm.
Those are many things that your husband did, and yet they're going to fall on you. And when the time comes and when you are grieving, it is very real that your thinking is cloudy. Grief brain is a reality. Your body chemistry changes. And so to try and learn new things
when
you can't think straight is a challenge. So you need to be prepared practically. It's still not going to be easy because you're going to see your husband's signature on forms and you're going to have to settle the estate or whatever it is you have to do. And those are very hard things. But if you can have some practical things in place and learn ahead of time, that would make it more manageable when your body is exhausted and your brain can't think.
Oh, that's very helpful. Thank you.
I had to learn online banking the week I got home after my husband died. He died across the country. We came home and he had always paid the bills and I had the passwords, but I didn't know. I didn't know when things were due. I didn't know how to do it. It was frustrating. And that's something that I would advise. Learn what you don't know.
Thank you. That's very helpful. If you'll pardon me for just a minute, let me welcome those who are just joining us. And if you are just joining us, you're listening to Inside Out on Family Life. I'm talking today with author Marilyn Nutter. Marilyn, please help listeners whose friends are widowed. What, in a nutshell, are unhelpful things for us to do or to say? And you include some of those in your book. And what are most likely welcome things for us to do and to say? I'm asking you to generalize, but could you give us some idea of the things really just to avoid saying, even if we have a good heart behind it? And what are things that are helpful?
And I know, I love that you said there's a good heart behind it, because people do mean well. I recall one time walking down the corridor of a church with a new widow, and someone stopped her and said, "I'm praying for you." And my friend started crying, and the woman patted her on the shoulder and said, "Oh, don't cry. He's in a better place." Well, the answer is, he's in a better place, but I'm not.
Mm-hmm.
And we're wired by God to shed tears. And it's helpful to realize it's awkward or uncomfortable, meaning those who are watching grievers cry are uncomfortable.
Sure.
And yet God wired us with chemically different tears of grief than tears when you peel an onion. Mm-hmm. And, you know, the scripture says he makes note of all my tears. He records them in his bottle. He cried. He was a man of sorrows. And I think it's helpful to just let your friend cry or let your friend talk about their grief. That's another thing. We want to avoid that. And avoiding the platitudes. We think of widows as a group. You look at a blanket of snow, and I know you're up in New York with lots of snow.
Yes.
You know, we look at a blanket of snow, but that blanket of snow is composed of individual snowflakes, and every single one of those snowflakes is unique and different. And that's the way it is with widows. They have different secondary losses. They have different personalities. They had different lengths of time of their marriage and a host of other things that we could talk about. So their grief is going to be personal and different.
Mm-hmm.
And there's a tendency to say, well, she should be better now. It's been a year.
Mm.
Well, there is no timetable with grief. You know, don't compare the woman who goes on a cruise with the woman who can't darken the door of a church for 6 months because their grief is different. So I would say be present. And when you need to be silent, be silent. There's a Spanish proverb that says conversation should improve silence. Mm-hmm. And if we can't say something that is going to be encouraging and not judgmental, then just be present. You know, put your arm around that person and watch the unnecessary. The welcome things that you asked about.
Yes.
Encouragement, saying your husband's name. You know, people want to avoid a name or they right. want to avoid talking about him, but I think about my husband every day. I would love it if someone would say his name or someone would recall a story about him. Certainly, I don't cry at 12 years that in the same way I cried when I was a month into my grief, because grief changes shape and its intensity. But yet, it's still encouraging and nice to hear a story about him or to hear his name. And I think that that's a helpful thing mm-hmm. for people to remember.
Well, for what it's worth, Marilyn, and you and I have not met, but I went online to read some tributes to your husband, Randy, and he certainly sounds like someone who had a great deal of influence in his students' lives and his students over many years.
Thank you.
You're married
too. Thank you for saying that and for doing that.
Absolutely. Marilyn, your book is titled Hope for Widows, Reflections in Mourning, Living, and Change. How have you found God to be a faithful companion, and what is the hope for widows?
I don't think you have long enough on this recording to have me tell you that. You know, early on in my grief, when I could barely read a page or I could utter more than a sentence prayer, there was a book on my coffee table which my husband gave me as a gift one time, and it was Kay Arthur's book, To Know Him by Name. And it was a gift book. It had lots of beautiful mm-hmm. artwork in it and mm-hmm. lots of white space so I could handle it. It was not like a textbook.
Right.
And the first name of God was Elohim, Creator God. And it was in January, and I was looking out at my backyard with a lot of branches from deciduous trees. And God spoke to me and said, I am creating something different for you. You're not always going to feel the same way you do. I am creating. And I rested so much in that truth, and I rested in the names of God. And when I talk about hope, I look at my hope being in who God says he is and his character, and that he is faithful to keep his promises. He hasn't made a promise that he hasn't kept. When he says, mm-hmm. my grace mm-hmm. is sufficient for you, it is sufficient for what I'm doing. When I know that he's Jehovah Jireh, who is my provider, he does provide what I need. When I know that he is the God Most High, he is sovereign in my life. And so when I think of hope, I think of hope as a person. We use that term hope like wishful thinking. You know, I
sure.
rented a beach house, so I hope it's sunny all week, or an expectation that we'd like something to happen. But that's not biblical hope. Biblical hope rests in who God is and who he says he is. And that is where I have found him to be faithful. Mm-hmm. That is not to say that I'm not sad. It's not to say I'm not lonely. It's not to say that I'm not frustrated. I am, but yet I rest in who God is to get me through my day. And mm-hmm. that, I think, is what the hope for widows is.
Mm. Your book includes Lamentations 3:22-23, the steadfast
yes.
love of the Lord never ceases. And that whole idea of steadfast, not subject to change, I think is also reflected in what you just said. He's faithful to be that person in your life.
Right. We hear that. You know, we read that over and over again in Scripture, the unfailing love of the Lord. His steadfast love endures forever. And that's what I mean. He keeps his promises. I'm glad you brought up that verse, because that has been my go-to verse in my past 12 years.
Mm-hmm.
And the interesting part about Lamentations 3:21 is that it says, yet this I call to mind, and therefore I have hope. It is really refocusing.
Uh-huh.
Where am I going to put my focus? That's what it is. I call this to mind and I have hope. What am I calling to mind? Because of the Lord's great love, we're not consumed. His compassions never fail. They're new every morning. Great is your faithfulness. And those compassions that are new every morning are handcrafted for each of us. I don't get yesterday's mercies, and I don't get yours,
right,
and you don't get mine.
Right.
You know, they're tailor-made, and so that is where God's faithfulness and hope rests.
Well, thank you, Marilyn. Thank you for sharing your journey step by step, walking through your story, and also then very much including the reader in the story and asking the reader to relate to some of these very things that you've gone through. Thank you for the writing in the book, and thank you for using your experiences to share with us today here on Family Life's Inside Out.
Thank you so much for having me.
My guest has been Marilyn Nutter, whose new book is Hope for Widows, Reflections in Mourning, Living, and Change. You can connect with Marilyn by going to marilynnutter.com. I'm Martha Manikas Foster with Inside Out on Family Life.
Thank you for listening to this Family Life News podcast. If you've been encouraged by what you've heard, please share it with others and click the subscribe button to automatically receive future episodes. Family Life is a listener-supported ministry. Podcasts like this are made possible by your financial partnership. Find out more at familylife.org.